So, Brother Froetz, it's good to see you here this morning. We're going to ask that you'll cover the material then, the responsibilities and rewards of parenthood.
So I was told that you have a number of children in your congregation. So I'm sure you're well aware of what happens when a little one arrives for the first time at the Kingdom Hall. The proud parents, of course, are there. Maybe even the grandparents are there. It's a real joyous occasion. All the various ones in the congregation, it's a real a buzz because everyone wants to get a look, that the little bundle of joy, we might say. And really, the excitement that this little one on his first time arriving at the Kingdom Hall, we could say, it's even above the arrival of the circuit overseer. When the little one comes, everybody wants to see it, and everybody's pulling back the blanket. And it's not just the sisters, it's the brothers as well. They all want to get a peek and see what this little one is like. And of course, it is a very happy occasion, and it's excellent to see as well. But the big question for mom and dad is how can we meet the challenge of raising this child, this little one, in today's world? And it's no little thing, because rule of thumb, they're just starting out on a 20-year project. So it's not they got this little one and everybody's happy, and after a few years, I don't want that no more. I maybe move on to something new, because in today's society, that's the thing. Whatever we have today, we don't want it tomorrow. We want something new. But that's not the case when it comes to children. It's quite a responsibility, and it's very serious. And as mentioned, in today's world, there's so much crime, violence, and it's not just against adults. It's even our children. They too are susceptible to this, to the violence that we see today. So, and again, we can find all kinds of information in the technology that we have today. If you were to punch in for a guide for raising children, I'm sure on Google or wherever on the computer, that there's no shortage of advice and on how to do this or that in raising a child. But as servants of Jehovah, what we want to do, of course, is look to God's word, the Bible. And he gives us comfort from his word, the Bible, that he is very interested in us raising this little one. If you turn to Psalm 32, verse 8, if we go there, because we want to be guided by Bible principles and not by the customs of the day or the various cultures that we see round about us today. But we want to be directed by Jehovah's guidance and instruction. In verse 8, it says, and this is Jehovah, he tells us, he gives you this assurance. He says, I will give you insight and instruct you in the way you should go. I will give you advice with my eye upon you. And who's he talking to? Well, really, he's talking to the parents. And he's talking to once he will give you the guidance you need to raise this little one. And why is he so interested in this little one as well? Well, if you turn again in the same book in the book of Psalm, but this time go to Psalm 127. If you go to Psalm 127, this was highlighted in our song as we opened with this morning, that our children are really a trust from Jehovah. And that's why he's so interested in our little ones. In verse 3 and 4 of Psalm 127, it says, look, sons are an inheritance from Jehovah. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are the sons of one's youth. So Jehovah's keenly interested. He wants us to raise this little one properly. And of course, we do too. We want to help our child. We want them to grow up to be responsible adults as they grow. But more important than just growing up to be responsible adults, we want them to grow up to be responsible servants of Jehovah. And when we think of that, that's a big job. It's, again, as I mentioned, it's a 20-year project. But in Deuteronomy chapter 6, in verse 6 and 7, it highlights there as well just what is involved in doing this. And Deuteronomy chapter 6, and verse 6 and 7. And as we read this, you will see the responsibility and where it lies. First of all, it starts off, it says, these words that I am commanding you today must be, first of all, they have to be on the parents' hearts. So we want to do our best in serving Jehovah. So we want to set the right example as parents. But notice in verse 7, friends, when in who is being addressed here, it says, and you must inculcate them in your sons and speak of them when you sit in your house and when you walk on the road and when you lie down and when you get up. So when it comes to raising our little ones, is it just make sure that we have a family worship once a week? We could say no. That's very, very important. I don't want to take away from that. But when we read what's involved here, this is 24/7. And it's for about 20 years that we have this responsibility. So a great responsibility indeed when it comes to us as parents. And we want to make sure that we are very serious in this regard. And again, as parents, too, we want to recognize that it is the parents' responsibility. We don't want to ever get the idea that, oh, well, the grandparents are here. We could maybe pass the children off to the grandparents. Nothing wrong with having the grandparents babysit the children once in a while and maybe keep a check on them, but Mom and dad or the grandparents have already raised their children. And so we wouldn't want to take that attitude, although it's very easy. In some cultures, they do want the grandparents to raise the children. I'd like to read you here a little experience. This is about a young sister. And she was raised by her grandmother. And it's interesting what occurred because of that. She was raised by her grandparents, so she didn't see much of her mom and dad, not as much as she should have. And she may have done well, but notice what her comment is. I found it hard to show them, that's her parents, true feelings. She says, I assured our parents that we'll take care of them in their old age, but I will do it out of duty. I will not do it out of love. So how sad that would be for that to happen. And why? Well, really, it's because she really don't know her mom and her dad. She knows her grandparents really, really well, but she don't know her mom and dad. So that can happen. And it's sad if that does. So again, we want to recognize it. That it's our responsibility as parents. And of course, when it comes to raising children, it's both mom and dad. It's not an attitude. Sometimes it can be an attitude of the old world round about us that, you know, just that's the wife's job. That's the mother. She looks after the kids. I go to work every day. She looks after the kids. So she's supposed to do that. But really, that's not Jehovah's way. Ephesians chapter 6. I invite you to turn there, please, to Ephesians chapter 6. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, we're going to look at verse 4, because this specifically talks to the fathers. And that's in verse 4, it says, "And fathers, do not be irritating your children." But then this is what it says: "Go on bringing them up in the discipline and admonition of Jehovah." So who is Jehovah really giving the real responsibility to as head of the home? It's the father. He's to make sure that he looks after the spiritual training and the loving discipline of his children. His mom, the mother helps, of course, but the dad is truly, he wants to make sure that he takes his responsibility seriously. And because children, they need to feel the love of not only the mom, but they also need to feel the love of the dad. And today, in today's world, they need to feel that they're protected and they're secure within the home. And the dad, really, he stands out as offering that protection for the little ones. But of course, we don't want to take away, on the other hand, we don't want to take away from the mother, because she too fulfills a role, has a responsibility. And First Thessalonians. I invite you to turn there, please. The First Thessalonians in chapter 2 and verse 7. Now, this is a comparison here from the disciples' standpoint, but you notice what it says in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 7. It says, "On the contrary, we became gentle in your midst, as when a nursing mother tenderly cares for her children." So the mother plays a real key role, or a crucial role, in the child's upbringing. And especially at the first, as it mentions there, when it comes to physical and emotional needs, she plays this key role. Now, physical needs, of course, if she's a nursing mother, of course, dad, he's not involved in that per se, but it's not long after that when the little one starts to take on other types of nourishment, dad can be involved. And there's nothing wrong with a dad changing diapers and things such as this either. It's good for him. It's not just say, well, that's the mother's job. So we don't want to look at it. This is a team effort, a team effort in raising this little one. So we don't want to think, well, don't want to start saying, well, this is your job and this is my job. No, this is what we're going to do. We're going to raise this little one up. And the emotional needs of a mother, as it mentioned there in verse 7, it says, tenderly cares for her children. So I'm sure you're well aware there's quite a difference in the way the father treats a little one and the way the mother treats a little one. Now, I haven't did a study on this. I didn't do no million-dollar study, but just watching little ones. If a little one falls and scrapes their knee, who do they go to? Do they run to dad? Or do you think they run to their mom? Well, in my experience and viewing, is they go to mom. Why? Because she's tenderly compassionate. That little scratch on her knee, she will maybe rub it gently and pat it, and then maybe she'll give it a kiss and makes it all better. And all of a sudden, the little one is back playing again. But if that same little one went to the dad, what do you think the reaction would be? Well, I don't see nothing. What's wrong? And he just passed it off. So the little one learns very quickly when it comes to the emotional needs and the love, that type of love, they want to go to the mom. And again, this assignment that these ones have is a very weighty assignment indeed for both mom and dad. But sad to say, in this old world today, as we look around us, there is also a lot of maybe single moms. There's maybe blended families, things such as this. So when it comes to a single parent, now we just touched on father and mother and showing that they both have a great responsibility. So when it comes to a single parent, what happens? This little one still needs all the same things that he needed from both mom and dad. So if it's a single parent, they face unique challenges. And when they're praying to Jehovah to help them in their raising of this little one, I'm sure that they want a double portion of Jehovah's Spirit, because they'll need it in order to do so. And the same with the blended family. They face unique challenges too. For instance, in Romans chapter 2, in the book of Romans chapter 2, it's quite a challenge for blended families. In Romans chapter 2, verse 11 in Romans chapter 2, says something about Jehovah, and that's where, for as parents, whether it be mom or dad, it says there that now we know, Romans chapter 2, verse 11, I'm sorry, there is no partiality with God. And when there's step family and step parents, that's a real challenge. We have to work on it really, really hard to make sure that there's no favoritism or impartiality with the children. And that truly is a real challenge for the parents. And again, but it is their responsibility, and they have to work hard in order to accomplish this. When it comes to our responsibilities, of course, as it mentioned, we're training our children. And that involves not only to train our children, but also to discipline our children. And sometimes we might wonder, well, when should we start training our little ones? Well, it's interesting. Again, we turn in the Bible. Jehovah doesn't leave us to wonder this on our own. And if we go to 2 Timothy, verse 15, where we read, and this is talking about Timothy, and of course we know that he grew up to be a valuable servant to Jehovah. And so again, but his training didn't come later in life. If, as we notice here in verse 15, and that from infancy you have known the holy writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So Timothy was trained right from a very, very early age. And again, there has been studies done on this. Even moms, even before the child is born, sitting down, reading them Bible stories and so forth, and things such as this can have a calming effect on the child. Even before the children are born. And And then when it comes to training our children and this atmosphere of maybe reading to them or telling them stories when they're little, truly, it's training them. And it's an amazing thing. I can still remember, my mom wasn't in the truth, but I can still remember my mom telling me stories at night. And I can still remember the stories. And so that's over 70 years later. I can still remember the stories my mom told me. So if that's the case, and that's from a worldly standpoint, just think the effect that it can have on our children when we tell them this at a very early age, when from God's word, the Bible. And there's numerous stories that we can share with them from God's word. If we don't want to read it, we can make it up. Make it up as you go along. Chances are you've memorized lots of those Bible stories anyway as parents. So I know our daughter, I have more than one daughter. Yeah, our youngest daughter. I can remember I would make up stories as I went along. And to her, come to find out a number of years later, that was her favorite stories. And she'd want me to repeat them, and I couldn't even remember them. I couldn't remember what they were. But anyway, they were good stories. And they had a Bible lesson, of course. Anyway, don't want to get sidetracked. But again, when it comes to this Bible-based material, friends, truly, it's training. It's all part of training, and it'll help and as our children get older. And especially because we want our children to be responsible adults, productive adults as well. And sometimes when training, and we also talk about disciplining, and sometimes disciplining has a kind of a negative connotation because it's very easy for people to think, oh, well, when it comes to discipline, you're basically going to chastise your child in some way or another. But that's not necessarily always the case. Occasionally, there might be some punishment needed. And as parents, we don't want to neglect the punishment if it is needed. Because what will happen is that will come back to harm you later on in years. So if there is some type of punishment needed, now I'm not talking about severe punishment or anything like that, but whatever punishment for the wrong done. And but today as well, we want to realize that our children, along with this training, they need to be protected from unwholesome influences and potential harmful associates in the old world round about us. Because as we know, wicked men are advancing from bad to worse, especially as we're deep into the last days. And so our children are at risk. And again, as parents, we want to recognize that. We want to recognize that we have to protect our children. It mentions here a couple of things. It says, and this is directed to parents, to mom and dad. It says, you must be alert to dangers. So it isn't always just the children to know, but it's the parents. Make sure that they know of the dangers our children are facing. It says, anticipate situations that could lead to problems and take due precautions. And it says, if you allow your children access to the internet, be sure they know how to use it safely. So again, it's not the children, it's not up to them to make that decision. As parents, it's our call. We make the decision. And again, it may be difficult to implement, but that's what we have to do. That's part of our responsibility. And it's so important that we do so today. And because our children. It says, do your children know what to do in case someone tries to take advantage of them when they are not present? When you are not present, rather? Your children need to know the proper and improper use of their private body parts. And then it quotes a father here. He says, I never left this training to others, not even the teachers. I felt that it was my personal responsibility to teach my children about sex and the danger of child molesters. And how true that is, because it's a reality today for us. And we want to recognize that it being so in the times we're living in. And again, to keep up to date what our children face. I know for a fact that my children are all raised. I'm behind the times, and sometimes in regards to what our children are facing at school. But there's always something new coming up. And as parents, we have to recognize it, and we have to find out, well, what is it and what's it involve? And many times there are types of sexual perversions or all kinds of different things that are taking place, even in at grade levels or early levels in school. For instance, the last one I heard about was furries. So as parents, do you know what furries are? I didn't. And so I had to be told. But as parents, we have to be up to date. What is it? What are their children talking about? What's going on at school? And so, again, we want to make sure that we know what's happening with our children and what challenges they face, because they face far more challenges than what I did when I went to school and what maybe you did when you went to school, even if you're just a parent and not a grandparent. In Proverbs 3 and 12, it's a good point to keep in mind as parents. In Proverbs 3, verse 12, when it says, for those whom Jehovah loves, he reproves, just as a father does a son in whom he delights. So again, there's direction needed for our children. Sometimes they do need some reproof. But again, if that's the case, we want to make sure that we do it and we give them the guidance that they need and start them at a very early age. Want to recognize as well, friends, there needs to be boundaries, and they need to be consistent and reasonable. And as parents, we want to make sure that we provide a good example, because what we want our children to do, maybe we want our children to just a simple thing. Maybe we want our children, it's so nice for our children to say please and thank you. And that's real mannerly. And many times we'll see parents, they're always prodding their children. Well, did you say thank you, or did you say please, or whatever? But as parents, we can ask ourselves, what do I do at home? When I'm at the supper table and I want the potatoes or whatever vegetable at the other end of the table, do I say please? Do I say thank you? Well, that's you. You're setting the example. If you don't say it, don't expect little Johnny to say it, because he's not going to say it either. So it's a good thought for us as parents to keep that in mind. So as we touched on, friends, the responsibilities are great. Raising a children is a great responsibility. So I have one final scripture here in Proverbs 23. And so if we just go over to that in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 23, and verse 24 and 25, because we want to recognize too, we don't want to think that it's all responsibilities and, you know, challenges as parents. The rewards are truly, truly great, far outweigh the responsibilities. And that's highlighted for us And in the book of Proverbs, in chapter 23, verse 24 and 25, because you got to go back now 20 years. And this little bundle of joy that we first brought to the Kingdom Hall, everybody was happy, and it was a joyous occasion. And that's true. That's very true. We don't want to take away from that. But there's even a happier time if you've after 20 years. And that's highlighted here. It says, the father of a righteous one will surely be joyful. Whoever fathers a wise son will rejoice in him. Your father and your mother will rejoice, and she who gave birth to you will be joyful. So as a parent, after you've looked after this trust that Jehovah has given you, and you've accepted your responsibility and did the best you can to care for the trust that God gave you, then you truly will be rewarded with real joy after your 20-year project.